morning. Amen. Amen. If you have your Bibles, you can turn to 2 Samuel chapter 23. I'm not going to go over the announcements because you guys can read. So definitely read your announcements, all the announcements that we got going on, and you can take notes here on the back as well. One of the other things that I want to do announce, though, our new bulletins or our new devotionals are in, and we've got them back there. Betty's got them for June, July, and August. And so, guys, get these. Get several of them. Hand out to your families because we have to order, I think it's 250 or 500 at one time that we have to order. So that's the minimum order they have. But these are great devotionals. And so get this and send it to your, get as many copies as you want to give to friends and family. Okay, we're going to get into the Word today. And this is, I've been reading a book called Chase the Lion by Mark Batterson. If your dream doesn't scare you, it's too small. And so we've been doing a series on this. And today, the title of this message, if you want to write down a title besides Chase the Lion Part 3, I've entitled this The Chosen Frozen. And you're going to understand that here in just a little bit. So look at somebody say, The Chosen Frozen. And here in a little bit, we're all going to sing Let It Go from the movie Frozen. No, I'm just kidding, but I'm going to talk about that here in just a little bit. I've been studying this book, studying the Word that goes along with this book, and there's a question I want us to ask ourselves today. Why is it that some people seem to overcome and walk in God's blessings and favor while others seem to struggle? You ever wondered about that? I have. And there's a scripture in Proverbs 28, verse 20, and this is what we're going to study about today. What we're going to learn about is this, a key word is faithful. But Proverbs 28, 20 says, a faithful person, everybody say faithful, a faithful person will be richly blessed. And that's not just financially, that's talking about in every area of life. But the key word is faithful, staying faithful, even when you don't feel like it. Dusty and I had a talk this morning, and I was confessing to him that I'm preaching to myself today. Sometimes I don't feel like being a pastor. Can I? Dusty's back here. Sometimes I don't feel like being an elder. And God says, no, Mark, did I call you? Yes, God, you called me. Then, son, you got to stay faithful in the good times and in the bad times and in the ugly times. So it's really fun when you can stay faithful in the good times, but when stuff starts happening and things, you know, aren't going as planned and all that, that's when you're kind of like, okay, I'm ready to check out. But that's the times where the rubber meets the road. You got to stay faithful in whatever you're doing in life. And as I was studying this, I found out, and this, I'm going to go ahead and give you my sermon in a sentence. I didn't write it down on the board, but this is so true because we're battling against culture and society in what we're, our thought processes and everything, but we live in a culture that celebrates 15 minutes of fame, but God honors a lifetime of faithfulness. That's what God honors. And in fact, when you stand before God one day, every one of us are, and you give an account for your life, the things that you're gonna hear God say, the Bible says he's gonna say, well done, good and faithful servant. That's what he's gonna say to you. That's what I want to hear him say to you. But it's not what, it's well done. It's not well said. It's not well thought of. It's well done. We got to do it. We got to do what God's called us to do. And so if you want to write this down, I believe in long obedience in the same direction. Staying hooked up. Look at somebody and say, you need to stay hooked up. Stay hooked up. Because if you keep doing the right things day in and day out, look out. Somehow, some way, someday, God is going to show up and show off in your life. I believe that with all of my heart. And I'm preaching to myself this morning. So don't check out. Everybody ready? Amen. Okay, don't check out. I want to read something to you out of this book. How many of you remember Jackie Robinson, the first black athlete in baseball? It says, on the afternoon of April the 18th, 1946, Jackie Robinson made his debut as the first black player in the modern era of the major leagues. He hit a three-run homer over the left field fence in the third inning of his first game. And as he crossed home plate, the batter up, George Shuba, you probably never heard of his name, extended his hand in a congratulatory gesture. An Associated Press photographer captured that decisive moment with a picture, and it was one small handshake and one giant leap for racial equity in professional sports. Pretty awesome. I want to tell you something about George and his faithfulness. George Shotgun Shuba, his nickname was Shotgun, went on to play seven seasons for the Brooklyn Dodgers and was on the 1955 World Series championship team. In his celebrated baseball book, The Boys of Summer, Roger Kahn said Shuba's swing was as natural as a smile, and Shuba laughed at Kahn's description. During an interview with Kahn, Shuba walked over to a filing cabinet and pulled out a chart marked with lots of X's. And during the offseason, Shuba would swing a weighted bat 600 times a day. Now listen to this. This was back when professional athletes, even during the offseason, had a job. They don't need jobs today because they make millions. But back then, they had to have jobs. And that was after working his offseason job all day. Every night, he'd take 60 swings and then mark an X on his chart. After 10 X's, he'd give himself permission to go to bed. Shuba practiced that daily ritual for 15 years. And that's why he had a swing as natural as a smile. And you call that natural, Shuba asked Kahn. And he said, listen to this. I swung a 44-ounce bat 600 times a night, 4,200 times a week, 47,200 swings every winter. In my humble opinion, no one is natural. Sure, some people are more naturally gifted than others, but unless that giftedness is coupled with a complementary work ethic, it only results in wasted potential. You can't just pray as if it depends solely on God. You also have to work as if it depends on you. It's your work ethic plus your prayer ethic that will inch you closer to your dream, and it happens one practice, one day at a time. It takes faithfulness. Look at somebody and say, it takes faithfulness. Now, most of you remember the scripture that we've been reading is this series. In 2 Samuel 23, verses 20 through 23, we've been looking at Benaniah. Benaniah, the son of Jehoiada, a valiant fighter from Kabzeel, performed great exploits. He struck down Moab's two mightiest warriors. He also went down into a pit on a snowy day and killed a lion. Those are the things that we know about him, but we don't know what he did to learn how to fight and learn how to do things. He practiced. He was faithful. Verse 21, it says, and he struck down a huge Egyptian. Although the Egyptian had a spear in his hand, Benaniah went against him with a club. He snatched the spear from the Egyptian's hand and killed him with his own spear. Such were the exploits of Benaniah, son of Jehoiada. He too was as famous as the three mighty warriors. He was held in greater honor than any of the 30, but he was not included among the three, and David put him in charge of his bodyguard. We've been talking about that. Benaniah was faithful. He was faithful to David. He was faithful to his calling in life. If you go on and read the story of Benaniah, not only was he David's bodyguard, but whenever David passed away and his son King Solomon took the throne, he became the chief of all the armies of Israel because of his faithfulness to David and to the call. But today, we're going to look at somebody else in David's camp. And this is 2 Samuel chapter 23, verses 9 through 10. David had 30 mighty men, is what the Bible talks about in 2 Samuel chapter 23. And it says, next to him was Eleazar, son of Dodai. Don't you just love these names? Good grief. The Ahohite, I guess is how you say that. As one of the three mighty warriors, he was with David. So he's one of the three mighty warriors, was with David when they taunted the Philistines gathered at Pass Damon for battle. Then the Israelites retreated. Don't you get the picture? Everybody retreats. But Eleazar stood his ground and struck down the Philistines till his hand grew tired and froze to the sword. The Lord brought about a great victory that day. So we're going to talk about the chosen frozen. When he could have retreated, Eleazar stood his ground. And I want to teach you today, because I think this is something lacking in society today. It's something that God has been challenging in my own life here recently. And it's this one word, faithfulness. Faithfulness. Staying faithful, staying hooked up with something for a long time. So I'm going to give you four major characteristics of a life of faithfulness. Everybody ready to take notes? You're going to want to take notes on this one. Here's point number one. four major characteristics of a life of faithfulness. Number one is loyalty to God. Look at somebody and say, you got to be loyal to God. And what I'm talking about today, guys, and as I'm looking around, I see a lot of people gone today because I know there's things going on. You know, we had graduation, we had stuff going on, people are going on trips and stuff like that. But what I'm talking about today is way more than church attendance. Loyalty to God is way more than church attendance. It's what you do 24/7, 7 days a week. It's what's in your thoughts. Is God even in your thoughts throughout the week, or is it just on Sunday morning? It's loyalty to God, so it's way more than church attendance. There's two scriptures I want to give to you underneath this point. Deuteronomy 6:5 says, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. You know why we're supposed to love God like that? Because that's the way God loves us. God loves us like that. God loves us with all of his heart, with all of his soul, and with all of his strength. Joshua 24, verse 14 tells us this. It says, now fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness. Throw away the gods your ancestors worshiped beyond the Euphrates River and in Egypt and serve the Lord. A lot of us, we think, okay, I'm doing that. God, you're number one. I'm faithful. I'm loyal. But something's happening inside of me that started happening this week is, and I had a pastor's meeting this week, and I was telling Dusty about it this morning. We had a pastor's meeting this week, and every one of the pastors, our subject that we talked about was trusting in God. And we had to sit there and say, you know what? Sometimes I trust in myself. Sometimes I trust that I can figure it out and find my way out of a mess or a jam or whatever. And we had to confess that we really, honestly, we verbalize it, but we really don't trust God, you know. And until we just really have to. And that's where we've been at in this nation for a long time. Is we have on our currency, in God we trust, but guys, it doesn't happen until, it seems like it doesn't happen. We figure out how faithful we are to God and how much we trust God when we go through bad stuff. Isn't that right? That's when it happens. And so what God is trying to tell us through that scripture, he's saying you cannot serve two masters and besides God, you cannot serve two masters. Besides, God will not accept a divided heart. You've got to be loyal to God. Look at somebody and say, you got to be loyal to God. You got to be loyal to God. Okay, here's number two. Number two, the second characteristic that we all need out of the four major characteristics of a life of faithfulness, we need to adhere to God's word. Adhere to God's word. Adhere is like a word, like where we get the word adhesive from. So it means we got to stick to God's word. You got to stick to it. Look at somebody and say, you got to stick to it. All right, I'm going to give you a scripture. This is James chapter 1, verses 22 through 25. It says, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. There's a lot of people sitting in church today doing that, listening to the word. Nobody here, by the way. But all over the world, there's people sitting in churches listening to the word, and they're just listening, and they're deceiving themselves. Because the next part, we have to do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. You're not going to be blessed in what you hear. You're not going to be blessed in what you think. You're going to be blessed in what you do according to the word of God. And here's what I like to say. I like to say, give the word first place in your life and make it final authority. And what does the word say? The word says, then do it. You got to do it. I'm going to give you an example out of my own life, a couple examples that's happened to me. There are some things in the Bible that I just rejoice over. And I'm just like, yeah, I can do that. I can do that. That's easy. I can do that. And then there's some stuff that I'm like, I don't want to do that. And one of the things that I have, I'm just confessions of a pastor this morning, is some of the things that I struggle with are forgiving people that have done me wrong. Has anybody ever been like that? You've heard something that they said about you or did something? Yeah, everybody's like, amen. But here's the deal. When you go to the Word of God, Jesus doesn't suggest that it's a great idea. He says this is something that you need to do. And it's not just for the person, it's not for that person, whoever did you wrong. It's for you to not let bitterness and all that kind of stuff get into your heart. Because here's what I want to be when I grow older, and I'm getting older. I'm starting to get gray hair up here now. Somebody pointed that out this week. Don't you just love when people point stuff out like that? And I was like, well, I'm not going to color it. When it goes gray, I'm going to be like my dad. It's just, I'm just going to let her go. But I was like, I've been around people like this, guys, that live, that they were holding unforgiveness towards somebody that did something, even when they were a child. And as they got older, that bitterness just kept growing and growing. And then when they got older, nobody wanted to be around them because they were horrible, because it was just like poison coming out of them. You ever been around somebody like that? I have. And I was like, Lord, I don't want to be like that. And then God told me, he was saying, well, then Mark, you're always going to have the opportunity to forgive people, and you better do it quickly. And because the more you let it resonate, the more that bitterness can grow, that root of bitterness. And I'm going to tell you, I've had lots of opportunities, and I could sit here all day and tell you all kinds of stories that's happened over the past 17 years that I've been here being a pastor in my hometown, all the things that's been said, all the things that's been done. And you would say, man, you have every right to hold unforgiveness. And according to God's word, because it's the ultimate authority, no, I don't. I have to do the word of God. I have to forgive them. I have to let them go. We got real quiet in here because I'm just feeling the Holy Spirit. I see little snapshots over your head about people that you need to forgive, need to let it go. Look at somebody, say, let it go, let it go. Okay, let it go. That's a big one. So to adhere to God's word. And I've had, you know, and sometimes, guys, I'm going to say something else. Not only do you forgive, but how many of you know that God stands by his word, right? Even to his own hurt, right, with us. And I had a situation happen here not too long ago where I had agreed with the guy to pay him so much money to do something, and it didn't happen. He showed up to do what I asked him to do, but it didn't happen. It means he didn't follow through. The job didn't get done. So, you know, here's what I thought, my thinking. Even though we'd agreed upon this, he did try to show up. He tried to do it. It didn't work. His equipment didn't work. And I thought, I don't need to pay you. Right? But this guy called me out on it. So, no, you agreed to pay me this. And, guys, I'm telling you, it ruffled my feathers for just a little bit. And I was just about to go off on this guy and say, well, you didn't follow through. It didn't happen. Equipment didn't work, blah, blah, blah. And the Holy Spirit tapped on me and said, is your word good? Is your word as good as mine? Because there's a lot of things you didn't do and follow through with, and I was good on my word. And I went ahead and paid the guy, to my own hurt, paid the guy for what we had agreed upon. And you might say, well, you might be out there saying, because I was like this, I cannot believe the audacity of this guy to come to me to ask for his money when it didn't work, when the equipment malfunctioned and everything. And that's what I wanted to say to him. I said, bucko, take your stuff and go elsewhere. But the Holy Spirit tapped me on the shoulder and said, no, Mark, you need to follow through with your word. And I did. And guys, and I don't expect anything in return, but here's the deal. I want to be, and that's something I've always tried to be, is I always want to be a man of my word. Because that's what God is. God is a man of his word. And to his own hurt sometimes with us. Amen. Okay, here's number three. Be constant and unwavering. Number three, be constant and unwavering. And this is the two scriptures that I'm going to give you on this one. It's Hebrews 10:23 and James 1:6-8. Hebrews 10:23 says, let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. Talking about God. We got to hold on to the hope that we profess, for he who promised is faithful. Wavering is a guaranteed way for you to miss out on God's best. Determine now that you will not compromise, no matter the challenges, no matter the setbacks, no matter how impossible it may seem, refused to back down. Like Eleazar, he stood his ground until his hand froze to his sword. James 1, verses 6 through 8 says, "But when you ask, you must believe and not doubt, because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea blown and tossed by the wind. That person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Such a person is double-minded and unstable in all that they do." James 1, 6 through 8. And people that are constant and people that waver and people that don't waver, or people that aren't constant and people that waver, never experience God's best in their lives, guys. But the people that stand their ground do. And I love this pastor, Pastor Mark Batterson. He shares something in this book that really blessed me, because he shared something that he did. He made a confession of a pastor, that something that he did one time where he was not constant and he was wavering. And he talks about his church is in Washington, D.C., called National Community Church, and they had started a coffee shop there with their church called Ebenezer's, which means "so far, so God" in the scripture. It says, "When Ebenezer's was being built, I was invited to speak at a community meeting on Capitol Hill. I was nervous because I knew we needed the community's backing to get our property rezoned. I was also concerned that people would think of us as a Christian coffee house rather than a legit coffee house. And after sharing our vision for Ebenezer's, I fielded questions. Someone asked me what Ebenezer's meant, and I said that it basically meant, so far, so good." He didn't say, "so far, so God." "But that isn't what it meant, and I knew it, and I substituted good for God when God is the one who miraculously gave it to us. The bottom line, I chickened out. A few weeks earlier, we had hosted an Easter egg extravaganza for several thousand kids and parents in our community, and one of the guests complained because she said we were talking about Jesus too much. We explained that National Community Church totally underwrote the event. We had permits from the National Park Service, and it was Easter after all. Oh, and then there's the Bill of Rights, which includes freedom of speech and freedom of religion. Even the free candy, petting zoo, and egg hunt didn't pacify her antagonism. So be it. Well, this woman was at the community meeting, and it put me in a defensive mindset. So instead of offending this woman by saying, so far, so God, I offended the Holy Spirit. Afterward, I felt convicted by the Holy Spirit and my wife. Their voices sound very similar." And he said, "I'm grateful for a godly wife who speaks the truth in love. And after apologizing to God, I vowed that I would never play chicken again." How many of you ever played chicken before? Oh, I have. I've done it too. We all have. But we got to be constant and unwavering. And I believe that we're living in a day, guys, where we're going to have to, and it's upon us. I cannot stress this enough. We cannot be chickens. We got to stand up for what we believe in, stand up for the Word of God, and do it all in love, but we've got to make a stand. Here's number four. Here's the last one. The fourth major characteristic of a life of faithfulness is be a consistent sower. I'm going to explain that. A life of faithfulness includes always giving God access to your finances and your material possessions. By the way, it's all His anyway. It's all God's. Proverbs 11, verses 24 through 25 says, "One person gives freely, yet gains even more. Another withholds unduly, but comes to poverty. A generous person will prosper, and whoever refreshes others will be refreshed." Got to be a giver. Look at somebody and say, you got to be a giver. Got to be a sower. You can't expect a harvest if you haven't planted any seed. I'm going to say that again. You can't expect a harvest if you haven't planted any seed. You've never seen a farmer go out there to his tilled ground and saying, praying over and saying, "Harvest come in Jesus' name." And it's almost harvest time for wheat around here. You never seen him out there on a dirt ground saying, "I'm believing that here in the next 2 weeks, I'm going to have a harvest out here on this 160 acres. Now, he can do that if he planted seed back in the fall. But if he's out there standing over dirt ground and praying that and hadn't put a seed in the ground, that's dumb. And so, guys, but there's a lot of people that are treating God like that. "God, I'm believing for this, I'm believing for that," and they've never sown a seed. You got to sow a seed. And it's not just with finances, guys. I'm talking about that. That's part of it. But if you're wanting love, you got to sow love. If you're needing an encouraging word, you got to sow an encouraging word. I woke up this morning, I'm just going to be flat out honest with you guys, very discouraged. There's some other things going on in my life right now that I don't have the liberty to talk about, but I was discouraged. I confessed it to Dusty. I was like, I don't even want to go to church today. But I got this message prepared, and I'm preaching to myself. And I'm just being honest with you. And I was sitting in my chair this morning going over my message at the house, and I was like, God, I don't know, today's just one of them blah days, you know? And I'm just, for some reason, I'm just feeling discouraged. Have you ever had those kind of days? Okay. And I'm just like, I mean, it's not this, it's not that, but I'm just one of these days I come to church, there's not hardly anybody here, blah. You know, just add to my blah, God. Thanks, God. You know, and this is what's all going on in my mind, guys. This is what's going on in my heart. I'm just being honest with you. And while I'm sitting there, the Holy Spirit brings my message to my remembrance as I'm going over it and saying, Mark, are you needing some encouragement? And I said, yes, I am. I would really like some encouragement right now. And he said, well, you need to start sowing some seed for that. I said, okay. So I was sitting there thinking, okay, who do I need to encourage? Who do I need to encourage? And God brought somebody to my mind, a pastor friend of mine. And I texted him, and I said, hey, thinking of you, praying for you this morning, and I just want to encourage you. And he texted me back. This is so like God, because I'm sitting here going, I am so obedient, God, because I'm encouraging this guy. I know he's discouraged. I know he's going through some things because he's told me a while back, and I'm going to encourage him. Well, he sends me back this text that everything's going great. We're on vacation. I was like, good grief. Way to go, God. But here's the deal. I sowed the seed. I sowed it with a good heart. But you can't expect to harvest, guys, if you haven't planted a seed. You got to plant seeds for your harvest. The idea of giving is contrary to the way the world thinks. That idea of me giving that word of encouragement this morning was contrary to what was going on in my heart. But I did it. I did what God said in his word to do. The natural response to a need is not to give something away. Most people would respond by trying to keep everything that they can. And you got to give it away. Here's the scripture right here. That's Proverbs 11, 24 through 25. One person gives freely, yet gains even more. Another withholds unduly, but comes to poverty. A generous person will prosper, and whoever refreshes others will be refreshed. And then 2 Corinthians 9, verses 6 through 8. Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to bless you abundantly so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you'll abound in every good work. And that's not, that portion of scripture, it is talking about finances when you study that out. But guys, this goes with everything in life. If you need love, sow love. If you need encouragement, sow encouragement. And everybody said, amen. Now, I want you to look at somebody and say, you need to stay faithful. Like Eleazar, you need to be the chosen frozen. You need to be the chosen frozen. And I told you we were going to end with a Frozen story, right? How many of you ever watched that movie, Frozen? Yeah. And some of you, it's got little bitty kids, you've watched it 100 million times. And so you could probably sing it by heart. But I'll never forget when we watched it at home for the first time. I'm going to tell you guys, I'd never heard that song before until that movie came out. And they did it that way so everybody could go buy that song. And I heard that song, and I'm telling you what, guys, I got chill bumps. How many of you got chill bumps when you heard that song for the first time? I'm telling you, it was amazing. Let It Go. I was singing it. I'm like, I love this song. And then I finally got sick of it after a while. But I want to give you the backstory of this song, because it was in this book, and I thought it was very, very good about how this song came to be. Let It Go. It says, the irony in this song is that the moral of the song, Let It Go, is not to let it go. You have to white-knuckle your dreams like Queen Elsa and her ice-making abilities. Written by the husband and wife songwriting team of Kristen Anderson Lopez and Robert Lopez, Let It Go won an Academy Award for Best Original Song in 2014. The powerful ballad was an instant hit, selling more than 10 million copies in 2014. But what's easily forgotten is the fact that 17 songs they wrote didn't make the cut. Most of us give up after two or three rejections, but to achieve the highest level of success in any field, you need a high pain threshold when it comes to failure. How many of these thresholds are being tested? Yeah. In order to write one hit song like Let It Go, you have to write lots of songs. How have Robert and Kristen achieved so much success in songwriting? I love their answer. This is what they answered. Somebody was interviewing them, and this is what their answer was. First of all, remember, this is a husband and wife team. First of all, we have to have a babysitter. And I thought that was so good. Success is not sexy, it's sweaty. Success is not glamorous, it's gritty. Like Eleazar, you have to vice grip your sword and keep fighting for your dream. And when it comes to discerning the will of God, I subscribe to a twofold litmus test you have to be released from and called to. And in my experience, the calling is easier to discern than the releasing. There's some things you got to release so you can be called to what your destiny is. And I just feel like God is speaking that to some of you this morning about some things that you need to let go so that you can really chase your lion in life. And is everybody ready to have the Lion Chasers Manifesto spoke over you? Because I like to do this every Sunday. And we're going to have a few more messages in this series. Has this series been helping you guys to chase your lion? It has me, to start thinking outside the box and start chasing your lion. Remember what God's called you to. Here's the Lion Chasers Manifesto. Quit living as if the purpose of life is to arrive safely at death. Run to the roar. Set God-sized goals. Pursue God-given passions. Go after a dream that is destined to fail without divine intervention. Stop pointing out problems. Become part of the solution. Stop repeating the past. Start creating the future. Face your fears. Fight for your dreams. Grab opportunity by the mane and don't let go. Live like today is the first day and last day of your life. Burn sinful bridges. Blaze new trails. Live for the applause of nail-scarred hands. Don't let what's wrong with you keep you from worshiping what's right with God. Dare to fail. Dare to be different. Quit holding out. Quit holding back. Quit running away. Chase your lion. Look at somebody and say, chase your lion. Okay, I want everyone to bow your heads in here this morning. And I want to ask you a question today, and because I do this every Sunday, because I feel like I know everybody in here today, but I just always want to make sure where you're at with the Lord. And also, we have people that are watching by churches today, and I never know who's tuned in or who's going to be listening to this by radio. But I want to lead you in a prayer of salvation. You know, before you can chase your lion in life, you got to know the lion. The line of the tribe of Judah, which is Jesus. And, you know, one of the things that he did for us was he chased his line, which was to go to the cross in our place. And there was lots of people that abandoned him, his own disciples, but he stood his ground like Eleazar, and he went to the cross for each and every one of us. And today, you know, I just want to make sure that you're saved, that you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And the Bible tells us in Romans 10 that if we'll confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus, if we'll believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, it says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So I want to lead you in this prayer of salvation. And even if you are saved, I want you to repeat this prayer to me. Say, Lord Jesus, I need you in my life. I believe you are the Son of God, and you died on the cross for me and rose again on the third day. Please forgive me of my sins and create a clean heart in me. Renew my spirit so I can hear your voice. I accept you as my Savior. You are my Lord. Thank you for saving me. Amen. Now, if that's the first time you've prayed that prayer, that your next step is to follow the Lord in water baptism. We can do that next Sunday if you want to do that, so let me know. But I want everyone to stand up in here. And I want to speak a blessing over you before we leave today. And because I believe in the power of blessing. And so let's pray. Father, we thank you. We praise you for this word today. God, I know that, you know, this word faithfulness is, you know, there's times, God, that we want to check out. you know, with different things that are going on in their lives, whether it's, you know, it can be various things, God. But I just pray, Lord, that number one, I pray that everyone in this room and those that are listening by Church's Aid and those that listen to this message on the radio, that we stay hooked up. God, that's the most important thing, that we stay hooked up with you, that we stay faithful, that we not give up, that we not throw in the towel, that we not abort our destiny in God and the calling that you have upon our lives. And so, God, I just thank you and I praise you for that, that we're going to be a faithful people, Lord, because we know that you're faithful to us. God, I thank you for your faithfulness today, that you're faithful to us in the good times, you're faithful to us in the bad times, you're faithful to us in the ugly times. Even when we're acting bad and acting ugly, God, you're always faithful to us. You never leave us nor forsake us. God, we thank you for your love today, and we thank you for your faithfulness. And Lord, I just pray that quality, that characteristic, that nature that you have, that faithfulness, would resonate in each and every one of us, Lord, and that we'd be faithful, faithful to our word and faithful to you. In Jesus' name. Lord, I just want to speak a blessing over your people today out of Numbers chapter 6, verses 24 through 26. I believe in the power of blessing, Father. I thank you that, God, when we bless, God, that great things happen in our lives when we speak blessings. And so, Father, I want to bless every one of us here today. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. Look at somebody and say, I love you. Y'all have a blessed week. Keep chasing your line, and we'll see you here next Sunday. Yeah. Everybody have a blessed week this week. Love you guys. Be sure and get your devotional, too, back there. And grab several for friends and family. Dad, good to see you.